Oh, ready when you are. Sorry.
Did our universe have a beginning? Could you leaf back through the pages of the cosmic history book and arrive at page one? We may never know. Today's theoretical physics can really only hint at what we might find on the first page, indeed, the first few pages of the story of time. What follows is a description of how it may have been. A description cosmologists have drawn up by pushing theory into the realms of imagination. That having been said, however, the first imaginable moment after the beginning of time may prove to be after only 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, This unbelievable number, a one with 43 zeros in front of it, would then represent the shortest length of time that can exist in the universe. The temperature would have been a distinctly tropical 100 million, 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 million degrees. And little is known of what might happen at such temperatures. It would have been an intensely, inconceivably violent moment. The very fabric of space itself may have been juddering, creating waves of gravity that will have set the universe ringing like a bell. Some cosmologists believe that during this period of twisting and buckling, exotic particles of matter would have been created straight out of empty space, damping down the turbulence in our expanding universe. As the first million, 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 millionth of the first second of the universe had passed, when its size could already have been as much as 10 kilometers across, countless numbers of those extraordinary particles that we saw before would have disintegrated and decayed, many of them never to appear in the universe again. Quite a bit further on, everything had cooled, if cooled is the right word, to 100,000 million degrees, 7,000 times hotter than the center of our sun. There are no atoms or molecules yet, though. It's still far too hot for them to exist. For the moment, it's a raging furnace in which matter, antimatter, and radiation are crammed together into a universe that may already be 40 million million kilometers across. As the universe became 1 second old, the temperature was still easily high enough for bizarre but crucial events to be taking place. Until now, the universe had contained roughly equal amounts of matter and antimatter. What imbalance there was a tiny one. But by the time it was celebrating its first second of existence, most of the particles of matter in the universe had been destroyed by colliding with particles of antimatter. The result of these collisions? Light. Saturated with light, and now containing only a relatively small amount of matter, 13 more seconds were needed before the universe was cool enough for the nuclei, the central portions of atoms, to be formed. It was now a mere 3,000 million degrees in the shade, so to speak, and the universe should have been ready to start building the atoms of the first compound element on its list, an element called helium. It should have been ready, but it wasn't. The weak link was a terribly fragile type of hydrogen known as deuterium. Although everything else was all set to go after 13 seconds, it was still too hot for deuterium to be stable. The universe had to drum its fingers and wait. Wait for another 3.5 minutes. At the age of 3 minutes and 46 seconds, it was ready to take its next big step. It was now cool enough for deuterium to be stable. And at last, nuclei of helium could be made. It was the penultimate step in the formation of normal matter. So far, it's taken slightly longer to describe what was happening than it actually took to happen. Our universe, at last able to create the odd helium nucleus, is just 4 minutes old. The final step took rather a lot longer. In fact, the universe had to wait fully 700,000 years until the temperature dropped sufficiently for the atomic nuclei to be paired up with their electrons. Then, for the first time, the universe was well and truly divided into recognizable atoms of matter and energy. As eddies in the universal gas clumped together under gravitational attraction, galaxies and stars could at last be formed. Today, the universe is about 15,000 million years old. Many millions of stars have long since had their day and have died away. And certainly in human terms, that makes the universe seem unimaginably old. But for our still expanding universe, the day is yet young, and time has only just begun.
At the hole, the time is 6 a.m., Eastern Zip Zone.
It's 6 o'clock. It's time to get up. It's 6 o'clock. It's time to get up.
Dear, this evening seemed to go so awfully fast. We had so much fun, and now you're home at last. I looked forward to a kiss or two at the garden gate, but you gave me just one peck and insisted it was late. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay, let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more. Only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday date. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Can sleep late. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms.
My grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood mighty years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride. But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, his life seconds numbering. It stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. My grandfather said that of those he could hire, not a servant so faithful he found. For it wasted no time and had but one desire, at the close of each week to be wound. And it kept in its place not a frown upon its face, and its hands never hung by its side. But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. It rang an alarm in the dead of the night, an alarm that for years had been dumb. And we knew that his spirit was pluming for flight, that his hour for departure had come. Still the clock kept the time with a soft and muffled chime as we silently stood by his side. But it stopped short, never to go again when the old man died. 90 years without slumbering, his life seconds numbering. It stopped short, never to go again when the old man died.
Now you've all heard the story about my grandfather's clock. How it rang to the plan of his life. You know that story. It kept time all the time that my grandfather lived. But it stopped its tick-tock when he died.
Now, old Drat Jack Bruce was the thing, and I'm sure you all know he'd be glad if he knew about his luck. 'Cause I whacked it today, and I wish Grandpa could see how he popped to the dick of his luck. Oh, Granddad was quite a lad. I'm sure that you all know he'd be glad if he knew about his luck. 'Cause I whacked it today, and I wish Grandpa could see how he bopped to the dick of his luck.
One o'clock, 2 o'clock, keep on dancing. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, keep on partying. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, shake your booty. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it's happening now. 9 and 10, and then it's boogie time. Pretty lady, come and get dressed. I wanna take you to a party downtown and boogie. We're gonna dance till the daylight and party all night. Let's boogie. Let me tell you, baby, I'm the messiah of music, and I'm willing to give you funk. Funky music's what I have in store for you tonight. Gonna dance till the night quits and party till the daylight. Let's boogie. Keep on dancing. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, keep on partying. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, shake your booty. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it's happening now. 9 and 10, and then it's boogie time. Pretty lady, come and get dressed. I'm gonna take you to a party downtown in boogie. We're gonna dance till the daylight and party all night. Let's boogie. Yeah, we're gonna dance till the daylight and party all night. Let's
the ice man brings the ice. The grocery boy brings the groceries too. They all treat you nice. I go away and work a week, you don't even darn a sock. Everything seems about the same, but who winds your clock?
Who winds your clock, baby? Who winds your clock?
I have to make the money, honey, but who winds your clock? Treated it so gently, I never did get tough. But the guy that wound it the last time treated it too rough. I oiled it with 3-in-1, would never let it soil. The guy that oiled it the last time used a different kind of oil.
Who winds your clock, baby? Who winds your clock?
I have to make the money, honey, but who winds your clock? Thank you. just might keep it tight. The clock was good as gold, but now you've got the place messed up. The key don't fit the hole. When I ask who wound your clock, you just sit and laugh. I'll catch the derp that's doing that work and break his balance staff.
Who wound your clock, baby? Who wound your clock?
If I have to make the money, honey, I'm gonna wind the clock.
Okay, well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are, and welcome to another edition of the Bit Slap. And in honor of Daylight Savings Time, I decided that it's time for a show about time. Why not, right? And we started with something from Nova, the old PBS series, which is, of course, still on. That was recorded way, way back in the 80s. And that was a show of theirs about, I believe it was about time, it could have been about the universe, I'm not really sure, but there you heard a fairly concise explanation of how time began. Dudley Moore was in there too, I don't know if he made it through that one. You'll be hearing from that again shortly when we talk about the end of time. So stay tuned for whatever time is remaining. We heard from the Los Microwaves, Time to Get Up, Frank Sinatra, 5 minutes more. Johnny Cash, My Grandfather's Clock. Sidney Joe Lewis, Boppin' to Grandfather's Clock. Kind of a follow-up, I guess. 10 o'clock is Boogie Time from Buddy Ryan and Bucky Bates. Who winds your clock? So I've been kind of trying to get this show on the road for quite a while now. So today we finally did it because I figured I had a really good excuse. We lost an hour last week. We'll get it back in October, I guess, or is it November? I forget whether it's, they changed it. We'll go back to regular time then. But in the meantime, enjoy your late sunlight and your early morning dark. I'll be back and we'll talk more about it. See you soon.
Cruising down the rivers on a Sunday afternoon.
The years in your ears, mid-century to century 2000. This is an audio history of your first 50 years, Mark, prepared for your entertainment by the Graphophone Entertainment Group. In 1950, while you were born like so many others like you, this busy nation hung out a clean hand to the victims of the past and discovered the mouse-tongued enema of tomorrow. Primitive, black-and-white, single-system TWEV obsessed the snowbound American family and you. Nobody wanted to remember anything, but they taught you drop drill. Remember, Nellie?
Yes, Jim. They were the fabulous 50s, a lavish epoch of rhinestones and chrome, set against the basic black of daily life. While your lucky mom drove a hard top and a dishwasher, Pop relaxed with a flat top and his choice of newspapers.
Wasn't that something? But you were too young then to be a juvenile delinquent, and not old enough to care by the time was up for the old gym. Before you could help it, you were growing to adult manhood in the swinging 60s.
By 1960, color was an everyday necessity. That way, within a few short years, the once easy choice between mom and bad and good and dad had to be made in the marketplace of public confusion. Famous heroes came and went. Business improved.
Boy, did it. A few have a nice days afterwards in a wartime frenzy. Americans all over the world went to the moon and back. When the trip was out of sight, they thought they had nothing to show for it but some dirty pictures. And that was what most everybody wanted.
I'll say, Jim, nearing the end of your second decade, Mark, just when it seemed as if everything you had in mind was legal and life was one big suitcase, It was time to get tough again from the top down.
Bring us together.
The sober 70s, soft on the inside, damage resistant on the outside. A hungry people learned to eat buffalo and crow, while its elected bureaucracy was retired to celebrate the revolution.
Folks young and old began to think more about their mobile homes now that they could watch the recreation of their choice on the new imported double screen. Many believed that God had come back. We all wore old clothes.
I'm still wearing them. And then, after a long string of local fireworks, first of the oil wars exploded, business improved, public interest declined. The president needed a volunteer, Mark. You were it. And so the Pegasus leaped skyward that sultry spring morning in 1979.
You were only 30 when you left for Planet X. How old do you think you are now?
That's a question for the computers here.
Back here, it was business as usual.
The Irish-Israeli crisis.
The near-tragic Latin American devaluation.
The Pacific energy conflict.
The pirate raids of 85 and 86.
Those something. And yet at home, things slowed down a lot. Eco-planning and life system improvement, together with the population stabilization program under President Bolt, created the North American Village Movement. By 1988, just as you were entering the orbit of Planet X, political life began to become a thing of the past.
Some called them the empty 80s, but now others are being naughty in the naked 90s. New words like Nav Shmavkapon,
Boltorama,
Tide Energy,
Zeppeline,
Simulaser,
Retirement Camp, and new ideas like
Cobain,
Equalism,
Divisibility,
Songkhwa Runshanyin,
new tourist nations like Amazonia and Namland,
and a few surprises, Mark. For instance, a new head in Rushmore National Park, and final elimination of the combustion engine, 2 years ahead of schedule.
Yes, it's nicer to be alive in 1995.
I'll say.
And it will be a flash to have you back. Sorry we haven't been able to bring you right up to date, but very soon now the Cape will be shut back, terminating the North American effort in space. Except, of course, for you.
That's right, Mark. And what a time you've missed. It's been entertaining to share it with you on The Years in Your Ears. This is Jim.
And Nellie Housefire saying,
so long until last time again.
This entertainment brought to you by GEG. Look for graphophone loop holos and magna players everywhere. I remember rivers, Nellie.
Show me colors, my face.
Hey, Doc. What's happening?
All you had to do was pull the switch and raise the bridge.
You know that, Commissioner.
You were trained to raise bridges.
I said I'm sorry.
Well, as Commissioner of Bridges and Sidewalks, it is my duty to...
There was a reason, you know.
What?
I was reading a magazine.
It is my duty
Not just any magazine, a Time magazine. You know you just don't look up when you're
you
reading
You do if
Time.
It's a 40-ton banana boat from Guatemala.
I didn't see it.
When it's sitting and tooting in front of a bridge for an hour and a half.
Sir, you get caught up in a Time magazine. What are your interests? Theater, art, music, books, cinema? It's all there in Time magazine.
This taxidermy.
Oh. Well, Time is a lot more color photography. Maybe there's a picture of something being stuffed. Let's take a look here and see.
It is my duty.
Sir, it was a Time magazine. It's not like I was caught with my hands down in my pants in the till.
Good grief, man. The boat had to turn around, go all the way back to Guatemala.
You know, I've had a perfect record for 11 years.
We haven't had a boat here in Herndon, Iowa for 11 years.
Well, that's being picky.
It is my duty.
One lousy mistake.
Time magazine, the most colorful coverage of the week.
Time. coming up to 4:31, and here's Jim Urgent with the news headline.
Thank you, Tim Biddulph. And before the news, here's Ron Gosping with the time check.
Thank you, Jim Urgent. And after the time check, a look at the headline with Stan Riddle. But first, here's Martin Threb with the latest time.
Thank you, Lawrence Crutch. Just coming up to 2:30, and later in the program, I'll be taking my watch to the Menders. Our next time check will be at 9:43, which is in exactly 3 minutes' time, and now back to Monty Speed.
And now at exactly 7:46, here is a police announcement.
Evening all. Knacker here. Knacker of the yard. There was a nasty accident last Friday afternoon at 12:32 p.m. at a junction of Neasden High Street and Neasden Crescent, where an elderly pedestrian was in collision with a police car driven by some of our lads. Will anyone who saw the accident or can give information keep very quiet indeed about it or else?
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away, and suddenly it's hard to find the memories you left behind. Remember,
at the tone, the time will be,
you remember,
4:56
and the tears
and 20 seconds.
The shadows of misty yesteryears.
Good afternoon.
The good times and the bad you've seen, and all the others in between. Remember, you remember the times of your life.
The Bell Telephone Company brings you the correct time.
Reach back for the joy and the sorrow.
At the tone, the time will be,
put them away in your mind.
2:15.
Time that you borrow,
and 40 seconds.
And when you get to tomorrow,
time 4:00, temperature 64.
Here comes the setting sun.
Please make a note of it.
The seasons are passing one by one, so gather moments while you may.
And 20 seconds. 9:55. 9:56.
The times of your life.
I'm sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please hang up and check the number and dial again or ask information operator for assistance. This is a recording.
Collect the dreams you dream today. Remember,
at the tone, the time will be,
will you remember the times of your life?
40 cents, please.
Of your life.
Thank you. And 40 seconds.
Yeah, I'm talking about
you're tired of all this rolling rock, I'll still be thinking of you, and I'll still sing this song. But just remember, through the years, I'll always love you as I sing.
Hesitantly, Helen slipped out of her slim, tight-waisted waspy and stood naked in the moonlight before me. Somewhere a clock chimed three. No wind stirred the casement window as she stood in the pale, translucent light on the Persian carpet. A minute passed. Then another. Then another minute. Then another minute passed. Then another minute passed. And another. A further minute passed quickly, followed by another minute, when suddenly a different minute passed, followed by another different minute, and another, and yet another further different minute. A minute passed. I glanced at my watch. It was a minute past. This was it. A minute passed. After a moment, another minute passed. I waited a minute while a minute passed quickly past, and then a minute which seemed to last an hour but was only a minute passed.
That was A Minute Passed by John Finlayson. You can hear episode 9 of A Minute Past tomorrow night at A Minute Past.
There was a man like you and me, as simple as a man could ever be, and he was happy as a king. Except for one peculiar thing. He had a clock that worked all right. It worked all right, but not exactly quite. Instead of going tick-tock, tick, the crazy clock went tock, tick, tock. The poor old man just raved and raved, because nobody could say why his silly clock behaved that hickory-dickory way. But now a famous man is he. He owns a public curiosity. From far and wide the people flock to hear the syncopated clock. Tick-a-tock, tick-a-tock, there's a zing in the swing of that clock. Tock-a-tick, tock-a-tick, don't you think it's a marvelous trick? Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, there's a zong in the bong of that ring. Ling-a-ting, ling-a-ting, don't you think it's a wonderful thing? The experts came to hear and see, but none of them could solve the mystery. They called Professor Einstein too. He said, there's nothing I can do. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock. From far and wide the people flock to hear the syncopated clock.
All right, I'll bet you didn't think this song had words. I don't really think those are the real words. I think somebody crazy just invented that. That was The Singing Princess. off of, I believe, a Peter Pan record. I don't know. We started that set with Years in Your Ears from David Osman, member of the Fireside Theater, on his own, an album called How Time Flies. And that was Years in Your Ears. Kind of a movie within a movie, if you'd like. Jan Tomita, Time and Space after that, followed by The David, not just David, The David, and that was Time M. Time, not Time P or Q, but Time M. Serious Drinking and a serious time check there for you. The Correct Times of Your Life was Jane Barbie and whoever else was with. That didn't sound like anybody named Jane, but that's what I have it, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Time Stands Still. Monty Python, of course, A Minute Past, and our little friend, the Singing Princess. And The Syncopated Clock, written by Louie Anderson, who you are hearing in the background. Now, time, what is time? Good question. I've always thought of it as nature's way of keeping everything from happening at once. And it's also something that's always against you. If you've ever been late for work, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, all right, we got more for you, and I promise to come back at the proper time.
Was a regular guy who lived a regular life. Got up 7:30 every morning, had the same breakfast, kissed the same wife goodbye every morning, went to the same office, came home. This he did Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, he played with the children, did handiwork around the house. Sundays, he took the family out in the station wagon to the suburbs. And there they looked at the houses and the trees, the billboards, the gasoline stations, and the railroad crossings. And his life might have gone on like this forever. Except one night something strange happened to him. You see, he went to bed at 10:30, and some of his friends stayed up later. And one of them, closing up a place that closed at 2 in the morning, decided to call this regular liver and said, "What time is it?" Telephone. Well, he woke up and he said, "Who's this? Who's this? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's no time to call. Why?" But the practical joker called every night 2 o'clock in the morning. He did this for 2 weeks. Friend cajoled, said, "Who is it? Stop." Finally, after 2 weeks, the practical joker lost interest in the joke and did stop. Then came 2 o'clock, and the phone didn't ring. So he woke up. Why isn't the phone ringing? He discovered that the only way that he could go back to sleep was to say, "What time is it?" And look at his watch and say, 2 o'clock. Then he could sleep. He did this a couple of nights until he began to think, "It's 2 o'clock where I am. What time is it in New York, or in Hollywood, or in London, or in Hong Kong, in Cairo?" The next day he went out and he bought himself some clocks. He got clocks from all over, and he put them all over the walls, and the time was there. He knew what time it was everywhere that counted. And this made him feel comfortable. He became so interested in time that he got little egg timers and gave them away as presents. He read about time in books, sidereal time. Time way out in the universe. He knew what time it was on Arcturus and the Pleiades and the Milky Way. One night, though, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the light wouldn't go on. The fuse had blown. But suddenly he realized he knew what time it was without even looking.
not only in the important cities of this world, but in the entire universe. And naturally, he began to brag a little the next day. He told people, I know what time it is. And they tested him. And he did know. The administration had changed at this particular time, and they wanted to save money. So they got rid of all their astronomers, all their telescopes, their weights and measures, and they put this man in Washington in a little room where he sits to this day, simply saying, beep, the time now is...
Time after time. Time after 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 time.
We would now like to introduce you to our song called Time. Notice the correct use of vowels and consonants.
There is a time to love and a time to live. There is a time to learn and a time to give. There is a time that's past and a time to come. A time to start anew and a time for fun. You are the one I have waited for. You have opened the door. There is a time to go and a time to stay. So darling, stay with me forever and a day. So darling, stay with me till the end of time.
Time is passing, baby.
Hurry,
baby. Time is passing, time.
Yeah,
marching on.
Time.
hours you'd losing in teasing me. You ought to be using and squeezing me. Instead of you scolding and doing me harm, you ought to be holding me in your arms. Cause
time is passing, baby.
Hurry, baby.
Time is passing, baby.
Come home, baby.
Time is passing, time is marching on.
Hurry, baby.
Time is passing, baby.
Right away,
time is passing, baby.
Time's a waste. Time, if I could only make you understand that you my woman and I'm your man. I want some loving, don't make me wait. Tomorrow may be too doggone late. Cause
time is passing,
oh, hurry, baby.
Time is passing,
oh, hurry, baby.
Time is passing, time is passing.
Yes, time. Hurry home.
Time is passing, baby.
I'm waiting, baby.
Time is passing, time is
time. Now we ought to stop carrying on the way we do. We ought to stop fussing and fighting too. You ought to give your baby all the love you can. You keep a goofing off, you're gonna lose your man.
Cause time is passing, baby.
Hurry home.
Time is
hurry, baby.
Time is passing, time.
Yes, time, baby.
Time is passing, baby.
Hurry, baby.
Time is passing, baby.
Hurry, baby.
Time is passing, time.
Yes, time.
Let me cry. tick-tick-tock.
Will somebody make it stop? Well, a
tick-tick-tock.
Bend over the noisy clouds. Well, I long to hear my baby, but all I ever hear is
tick-tick-tock, ticking up the clock. Ring, ring, ring.
There goes that alarm again. Well, a
ring, 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 ring.
The thing driving me insane. Well, I long to have a baby, but all I ever hear is
tick-tick-tock, ticking up the clock.
If somebody call my name, if somebody playing a game, well, if it's not my baby, then I'm not at home. I just sit here and listen to the ticking of the clock. Spend 24 hours away from me. You know I'm gone for my baby. Oh, where can she be? Is that the front door?
No,
no, then it could only be the clock.
Right at the moment, our universe is about 15,000 million years old, and there's some debate about what it's eventually going to do. The outcome hinges on, of all things, an estimate of how many atoms there are in the universe. If there are enough to exceed what is called the critical density, then the gravitational attraction they have for each other will continue to slow the expansion down until about 50,000 million years from now, it will stop. Like a ball that's motionless at the top of its curve. Then the universe would begin to fall in on itself. Slowly at first, until 50,000 million years later, it would be exactly the size it is now, but contracting. After another 15,000 million years, it would return to those unimaginably hot, dense moments that were occurring at its birth. Both space and time will then come to an end, and our universe will cease to exist. Some cosmologists have suggested, however, that such a cycle may continue, heralding the birth of another universe. This would mean that ours may simply be one of an infinite number of universes bouncing endlessly in and out. Nobody will ever know. Nothing, not even time, could survive those moments in between when the universe occupies no space, but is infinitely heavy, infinitely hot, and infinitely small.
Right, so the end of time may be 100,000 million years in the future. Does anybody know whether there are enough atoms in the universe for gravity to overtake expansion?
No, not really. Although if current experimental evidence turns out to be true, there aren't enough atoms in the universe. There is, on average, only one atom of visible matter for every 100 liters or so of empty space, and that's only 1% or so of that critical density. Black holes and other strange astronomical creatures may alter this figure, but at the moment, it looks as if the universe has a rather empty future. In 5,000 million years, our own sun will have expanded to engulf the inner planets, including the Earth. It will then collapse,
becoming an incredibly dense object, about the size of the Earth, called a white dwarf. Indeed, a piece of a white dwarf, the size of a sugar cube, would weigh over 5 tons. After another few million years, it will have cooled to no more than an icy lump moving silently through empty space. One by one, although new ones will be created from time to time out of the galactic dust, the stars in the heavens will begin to go out. Some will blow themselves apart as supernovae. Some will collapse into black holes. And many, like our sun, will simply dim and cool. As the expansion continues, the fading galaxies will gradually disperse and become invisible. And even the few giant black holes that are left may eventually disappear through a process akin to evaporation. There may be occasional flurries of activity as neutron stars or black holes collide, lighting up the darkness in remote corners of the universe. But basically, that will be that. All that will be left of the universe will be black, empty space. With nothing left to happen, no events left to occur, the concept of time will cease to have any meaning. We will have arrived at the end of time.
Well, you know, every once in a while, I like to end a show on a down note. So we just talked about the end of time. You depressed? Yeah, we ain't seen nothing yet. We started that set with Ken Nordine, What Time Is It? One of his word paintings. Jack Clement after that, Time After Time After Time. After Time After Time After Time After Time After Time. Bob Anthony, Time, his record called Time, he said that at the beginning. Time is Passing from Louis Jordan, and all you have to do is look around you to realize that. The Dells, and Time, and The Clock from Lee Andrews and the Hearts, followed by The End of Time from Nova. And as if that wasn't depressing enough, we lost a very important person this weekend. We lost Peter Bergman, one of the real founding member of the Firesign Theater. Firesign Theater grew out of Radio Free Oz, which was his project. And, of course, I don't have to tell you what happened then. So we're going to hear a couple of things from Peter. He was, believe it or not, he was actually active all the way up to the very end. He died of complications of leukemia, which is not a nice way to go. Basically, what leukemia does is it's a cancer of the blood. And what happens is that your white blood cells go crazy and they start eating your red blood cells. This will cause a very slow suffocation. Think about that for a second. Not nice, not fun. But Peter kept active up until the very end. He died this past Friday, March 9th. And I have something that was allegedly recorded on March 6th. Which I guess would serve as kind of like parting words from the man himself. We're going to miss you, Pete. I know my life has changed radically because of you and your friends, and I appreciate that. So as far as the rest of you, enjoy daylight savings time. Enjoy that extra hour of life at the end of the day. Enjoy the early morning darkness, too. And just remember, cherish your friends and your loved ones as while they're still here. It's always something like this, something that happens like this, we think about that. So just go ahead and do it. And I'll see you next week. Time marches on. So do I. And so do you. We'll see you then.
Robot rules of order. learning to live with cyborg surrogates and drones in your personal neighborhood. Part 4. Tobar visits his old neighborhood.
Baby sisters in a tube and mothers at the market. Poke a joke and all fall down.
Oh, little area resident.
Dig the servo with the Christian soon.
I'm Tobar Radar Robot
Meat. Hello, man. I'm Flesh Gordon. Shame.
Oh, no danger. I can see a magnet in your hand. Oh no, my eyes, I'm cool one! Never point a robot towards the sun. Don't put magnets on their nuts or joints or
bones.
Don't give a robot some. Get down, Levon. Have her club, swindle or perforate your robot, or put it in an old car and roll it up and flip it.
Short
enough to turn the
piano wire.
Oh,
let's get out of here.
Remember, be fair. We are not programmed for defense.
Magog Brothers Atlantis Carpet Reclaimers.
Yes, my brother Gog was wrong about the comet. How were we to know it would land right in the middle of our giant warehouse? It's a cataclysmic sale down here. We're flooded. We're over our poor heads in remnants, burn in, and labeled from such naturally famous weeds as Royal Move, Lemurian, Western S, and Munchkin Mills. Dog hairs, nerveballs, slick snacks, trip easy. We got them, you get them. Your nap will rise again, and that's my story.
Good God, it's Magog Brothers Atlantis Carpet Reclaimers. Serving Heater Hellmouth and the low desert area.
All right, hold it right where you are. I'm Lieutenant Bradshaw with a piece of advice for you. Now, here in the studio, it's all knuckles and know-how. But when that red light goes off, I'm just plain Harry Ames, citizen, weekend father. Now, take a tip from a cop who does. Radio work can be just as dirty and exciting as hunting down public enemy number one. So when I get home, my old lady knows what I need and how. A warm, heaping bowl full of looseners, castor oil flakes with real glycerin vibraphone. It doesn't just wash your mouth out. It cleans the whole system right on down the line. So come on, you little rookies. Tell your mom to get on it and do it every day. Just remember what the guys down at the precinct house sing.
Oh, it ain't no use if you ain't got the boost you get from looseners, looseners.
The all-weather breakfast.
Take heart, dear friends. We are passing through the darkening of the light. We're going to make it, and we're going to make it together. Don't get ground down by cynicism. Don't let depression darken the glass through which you look. This is a garden we live in, a garden seeded with unconditional love. And the tears of the oppressed, and the tears of the frustrated, and the tears of the good will spring those seeds. The flag has been waved. It says occupy. Occupy Wall Street. Occupy the banks. Occupy the nursing homes. Occupy Congress. Occupy the big law offices. Occupy the lobbyists. Occupy yourself. Because that's where it all comes together. I pledge to you, from this moment on, whatever it means, I'm going to occupy myself. I love you. See you tomorrow.